Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for all that you have given us. It is about the cross. It is about what you did for us on that day that makes everything else possible, that gives us the opportunity to have a relationship with you.
Yes.
That allows us to be your disciples and to come before you, to, metaphorically anyway, sit at your feet. And someday we'll be able to literally sit at your feet.
Yes.
We're gonna see you because of what you did. So thank you, Lord, once again, for the gift that is of immeasurable value. And open our hearts as we study your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I am so thankful. Speaking of, I have a little fun with people, but I am so thankful for the people who keep things running,
amen.
Who make sure that everything is done that needs to be done, that people are taken care of. And if you stop and appreciate these folks once in a while.
Amen.
That are responsible for making sure the lights are on, making sure the bills are paid, making sure the church is clean, making sure that everything is done that needs to be done, just so we can be here and be comfortable and everything is in place.
Amen.
We'd be in a fix without them. They are gifted to see what needs to be done and make sure it gets done. They know the schedule. They anticipate needs before they arise. They are effective and practical. And they're detail-oriented. And a lot of times can be a little bit impatient with people who are not that way, because they feel like everybody ought to be that way. And yeah, many of us wish that we were a little bit more like them. Trust me, so do they. But they often feel unappreciated. And I wonder, we're going to read from the well-known account of Martha and Mary. I wonder if Martha might have been feeling a little bit of that day.
Yeah.
We all have concerns, though. We all have those things that we worry about and we think about from day to day. The bills that need to be paid. The work that has to be done. The other obligations that we have that must be met. Whether that be to family, whether that be to the church. Or other things that we have committed to. And all of these things are important. It's not that, sometimes we do things that really aren't important. We have to decide, we have to figure those things out. But a lot of these things are important.
Amen.
But only one thing is necessary. I was writing in my journal, a lot of times in my prayer time, that's what I do, is I write it down. And I was writing, and I was thinking about the future, and I was looking also for inspiration. Sometimes that's why I'm writing too. I'm waiting for the Lord. Sometimes He'll speak to me that way, and I'll get the inspiration for the next message. But I started out just thinking about all the how busy I was, and oh Lord, it'd be nice if I didn't have to work, but thank you for this job. And then the next question comes, maybe from Him, I don't know, but am I really thankful? After all, I can't, some days I can't wait for Him to give me that package. But I recognize also that I have a duty. And there are responsibilities that I have. They're God-given responsibilities. And so I'm talking to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I know what I want to do. I know what my hopes are for the future. But what do you want?
Right.
Because what I want is not important unless it matches up with what you want.
That's right.
And I just sat there for a minute, and I said all I could think of to say, and I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, this story came into my head. And I thought about it a minute. I started writing, well, okay, Lord, thank you. I guess you gave me the next topic. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with what I've been talking to you about, though. But then, as I was writing that, it hit me. Well, yeah, it does. It has everything to do with it. Because God was saying to me in that moment, as we'll read here in a few minutes out of the scripture, he could have been saying to me in that moment, Larry, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary.
Amen.
And so let's turn to our scripture. Today, this is from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered into a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is important, is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now Jesus is actually in the town of Bethany at this point. We don't know that from this account, but we know it from John's account that this is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It's about 2 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. The timing is uncertain of exactly when this happened. Luke's account of travel, I've read at least one thing that said it may not have been chronological, but it definitely, just by the things that happened, had to be before the time that he comes back. Luke's account seems to be about his journey to Jerusalem, but there has to be some time here because the events don't line up if there's not some more time. So this is not the last visit that he makes after he raises Lazarus from the dead. But Martha, this is the same Martha and Mary that are written about in John chapters 11 and 12, whose brother Lazarus Jesus raised from the dead. And we hear more about Mary. She seems to be, anyway, we don't have a lot of information, but she seems to be more the reserved of the two. It's usually Martha that's speaking in the accounts. When we read in the book of John in chapter 11, Mary stays at the home grieving until Martha rather calls her out and tells her to come. But she's also the one in this story who is found at Jesus' feet, whose devotion becomes apparent as she breaks that expensive perfume and anoints his feet in John chapter 12. Right. We have those accounts also in the other Gospels. Luke has a similar account, but it's not about Mary. It's about another person. And then we have Martha. I think that we are unfair to Martha. I even heard somebody talk about a Martha spirit one time. I thought, really? That's just not right. But she's, in fact, trying to do the things that need doing.
Right.
It's not that what she's doing is unimportant. She's got a job that's expected of her, and she's doing her best to carry it out. In fact, she's the one who invited Jesus to her home. We might never know about the beautiful heart of Mary if it weren't for the initiative of Martha. And she too believed. She's the one who said to him when he comes to when he comes at their call, when Lazarus is sick and dies, she's the one who says to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." It's from John 11:27. She's also the one who helpfully points out that if they open up that grave, it's going to stink.
Right.
Always the practical. Mm-hmm. But Jesus loved this family. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. It was considered an honor to host a popular teacher in your home. So Martha has requested that he come and has been honored with his presence. It would have been a larger home, obviously, to host this big group that's come in with Jesus and his disciples. But sitting at the feet, we find Mary sitting at the feet. And this is something that we might not get from the story without a little bit of cultural background. But that was a place typically that would have been occupied by a male disciple. The women were permitted to listen in, but they weren't supposed to be right there. But Mary is taking the place that a disciple would typically take, and Jesus is defending it and saying, "Mary is just as welcome as anybody else here."
Cool.
So the question then is that I always ask, especially when a story strikes me. This one didn't necessarily strike me funny, but it was okay. We know we've got so little information, really, about what Jesus said and did in his earthly ministry. We've got four relatively small accounts, and many of the accounts overlap. So there's just not a lot that we know. So, and part of that's because of the medium. Now words are cheap. We can pound out thousands of them from a keyboard. If we make a mistake, we can just fix it right there. They're writing with a quill and ink on a scroll. If they mess up, they got to do the whole thing over.
Right.
So, your writing was a bit more precious. You had to be conservative about what you put in there. So everything that we have on Jesus' life, of course, guided by the Holy Spirit who inspired these men to write it, everything that we have is of value. It's there for some reason. It's there because the author, guided by the Holy Spirit, felt that we needed to have this information. It was important.
Amen.
So why would Luke consider this to be something that we should know? I think part of it is that it highlights the person and nature of Jesus, how he welcomed women to follow and learn from him in a culture where that wasn't necessarily accepted, and how he made the women and men equally, and gave them equal access. Jesus challenged Martha's expectation and said, "No, she doesn't have to do that. She's chosen the good part. I'm going to let her have it."
Amen.
"Only one thing," he said, "is necessary. And that one thing is Jesus."
Amen.
That relationship with Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, following him.
Amen.
It teaches us a lesson that we all need. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that demand our attention. And it's not that they're unimportant. Some of them are important.
Right.
But only one thing is necessary, and that is discipleship. And not only that, he delights in rewarding those who seek him. He's happy to have Mary there. how do we apply this then to our own lives? We've already said there are a lot of things that are important in our lives. Even taking care of ourselves is important. We have basic needs that need to be met. We have emotional needs that need to be met. We have spiritual needs that need to be met. And there's a verse that often gets quoted from Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now that sounds wonderful, and it's true.
Amen.
But it's also a lot of times taken out of context.
Yeah.
Because if you read around there, what has just happened is Paul has commended the church for taking care of his needs, for the gifts that they sent to take care of him. And he's saying, God is blessing you. God is going to supply all your needs because you have done this. It is the response when we do what we're supposed to do. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not negating grace or saying that God isn't merciful and gracious. He doesn't give us, he died for us and we certainly did not deserve it. But there is a law, we talked about sowing and reaping the other day. There is a law that when you sow good, you reap back good.
That's true.
God responds to the generosity. But we care for the people that we love, and that's important, and it's even biblical. In fact, Paul says if anyone will not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Out of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 8. So, obviously, it's important to take care of our families.
Yeah.
And that generally means we got to work. Whether it's inside the home, whether it's outside the home, it means we got stuff to do.
Right.
And it's important. And all those things we have to consider, all those things that we need ourselves, we have to consider that those around us also need. Service to God and the church, important. Martha's actively doing that. She's actively engaged in serving, and she's doing things that need to be done. We just got through reading in the study last week. Part of it, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith, from Galatians 5:10. I don't hear any Christians arguing that that's not important, though there are many who say it isn't necessary. What we must, though, to argue that this passage provides a, I didn't say that well at all, but to argue that this passage provides some justification for that argument misses the point. We become consumed with the activity above the purpose. It becomes about us instead of about him. What does Mary say here? Tell her to help me. She's doing a good thing, but she's gotten her focus off of the reason why she's doing it.
Right.
And it's become about her.
She's frustrated.
And we get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And when anxiety begins its tyranny, we have all kinds of things that happen. We have emotional things that happen. We have physical things even that happen. I did a quick internet search and found some information by a man named John Elfling, I assume that's the way that's pronounced, that said that anxiety and depression has increased with this whole COVID thing, I'm sure. In 2019, it was 11%. In 21, it's 41%. of people reporting some form of depression or anxiety. The virus, you know, everything that's gone on with the loss of employment and the sickness and losing loved ones, I'm sure that all plays into that. But Paul reminds us to be anxious for nothing. That verse that we all always like to read. Mm-hmm. Only one thing is necessary. Mary, at Jesus' feet, pictures discipleship. From the beginning, she is devoted to Jesus and to his words. And all of us, regardless of gender, regardless of our financial means, regardless of our ability or lack thereof, are called and welcome to sit at his feet.
Amen.
He will not turn us away. No. So we talked, Linda talked earlier about making choices. Amen. Choose the good part today. Yeah, all that stuff is important, but the only thing that's necessary is Jesus, and he will not be taken from you.
No, he will. Thank you, God.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving yourself to us in that way. Show us how to commune with your Holy Spirit, how to take that time and make it a valuable time of relationship and growing close to you. Show us how our prayer life can be enhanced so that it's more than us just talking to you all the time, but you talking back to us.
Yes.
Show us how we can sit at your feet and learn.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, once again, for all that you've done. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.